Proverbs chapter 1. If you looked in your bulletin, I don't know how many pay attention to the verse in the bulletin. I like to put a verse in there that comes from the message usually. But Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. See, we look at the book of Proverbs, it's a collection of teachings on how to live our lives in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord. We mentioned that in Sunday school this morning. One of the things that we need to do as Christians, we need to live in such a way that's pleasing to the Lord. We all, as Christians, need this kind of instruction continually. Why? Because we still live in the flesh. We need not to give our flesh the excuse, but Paul says, "I die daily." We need to beat our flesh. Christ crucified our flesh. When we were born again, there became the spirit, the inner man and the flesh, and there's a constant battle. And what you feed the most is what's going to win that battle. But here in the book of Proverbs, it says in verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." In verses 29 through 33, it says, "For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of the fool shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." See, if we expect to learn wisdom and knowledge, it must begin with the fear of the Lord. See, we don't hear much preaching on the fear of the Lord now. It still is vital to the Christian's faith. And the reason I think most Christians live the way they do today is because they lack the fear of the Lord. They're not being taught or preached to about it. They're not. It's obvious that a lot of people don't read their Bibles because of the way they live their lives. But we need to know what the fear of the Lord is all about. The phrase "fear of the Lord" is mentioned 18 times alone in just the book of Proverbs. 27 times in the whole Bible. So that gives you an understanding of two-thirds of the time, it's all in the book of Proverbs. There's a reason for so much emphasis placed on the fear of the Lord. It can either mean two different things. There's two different ways we can look at it. Or two things we need to know about it. What we need to know is what it means, first of all. What does it mean, the fear of the Lord? And how can we go about doing it? We need to learn what it is, but then we need to learn how to apply it to our lives. See, the Lord wants to teach us this matter of fearing Him. He wants us to grow in our relationship with Him. He wants us to draw closer. He wants us to grow in knowledge of Him. And the way knowledge begins is with what? The fear of the Lord. The first thing we're going to look at this morning is we want to see a definition of the fear of the Lord. A definition. What does the phrase "the fear of the Lord" refer to? Well, the first thing that comes to mind when we think fear is terror or a scared fear. That's what most people, when people hear of fear, when we've listened to the news and we hear them talk about fear mongers, people trying to instill fear in people, that's what we think about, fear, scared fear. Or to feel a painful apprehension of some impending evil or to be afraid of. We're going to see, let's turn to Psalm 23 and verse 4. Psalm 23 and verse 4. This is a good verse referring to the scared kind of fear. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The reason we can walk through, it didn't say death, it says the shadow of death. Okay? He says, I will fear no evil. And the only way we can fear no evil, it says, because for thou art with me. God's with us. He's with us everywhere we go. Do we not get scared sometimes? Do we not? Are we not afraid sometimes? Most of the times we're afraid of the unknown. When you go into a situation and if you don't know everything about it, that's where you're scared. But God is telling us here, David, through the Psalm of 23, he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, God's with us at all times. So we don't have to fear evil. We don't have to fear. See, some more definition for the scared fear is anxiety or solicitude of uneasiness of mind upon the thought of future evil likely to befall us. That causes us to be scared. But the other version, the other definition from the dictionary, Webster's, 1828, is to reverence, to have a reverential awe. And that's what we're really focusing on today, is the simple fact of having reverence for God and the things of God. And have a reverential awe. When we hear who God is, we should be in awe of who He is as Christians, as God's children. See, in modern vernacular, the word fear, in the context of which it is used by Solomon, has been replaced with reverence, awe, great respect. What the writer of this book is saying is that we are to have a deep reverence or a respect for God. That's what he's saying. Something a lot of us don't know much about. That's why we go to the scriptures and let it teach us. That's why he says all scriptures given by inspiration is profitable for what? For doctrine. We're being taught from God's word. We are to be awed and humbled by his presence. When we come to church, why do we come? We come to worship the Lord. We come, if there's something not right in our life, we come to get right. But we're trying to keep that fellowship between us and Him. But not only that, we're trying to keep that fellowship between fellow believers as well. Sing praises to Him. Hear the preaching of God's Word. That's all the different aspects of our life that we need as a Christian. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, when we truly fear the Lord, we will recognize that He is the Creator, first of all. We recognize who He is. And that we are His creatures. We are His. We are created by Him. But we have one up on everything else in creation, is because man was made in what? In God's image. We were made like Him. Because why? Does He need us? No, He doesn't need us. But He desires fellowship from us. He's the master, we are the servants. He's the father, we are the children. See, this attitude will manifest itself in our having respect for God, His word, and our having a desire to do what He tells us to do in the Bible. That is to be obedient to His word. See, all these things, when we truly fear God like we ought to, we have a proper reverence for Him and the things of God, we will do and we'll be obedient children for Him. When the right kind of fear is present, a child knows his parents can hurt him if he's disobedient. But overriding that fear is the knowledge of that disobedience hurts the parents. And the child loves and respects his parents and does not want to hurt them. When that proper relationship is there. And we understand when we sin against God, as David talks about in Psalm 51. And if we looked at if we had a proper view of who God is, it would be easier for us to live right than it would to do wrong. Because we would be in fear of the fact that we're going to be chastened, first of all. Because the Bible tells us we will be. But second of all, we don't want to be a disappointment to him. We don't want to hurt him. Just like when you're growing up with your parents and you didn't want to hurt them because you knew if you did something wrong, it would hurt them. The fear of the Lord is a deep-seated reverence for God that causes men to want to please him at all costs. Do we have that fear? Do we? See, genuine fear of the Lord is always seen in obedience to the Word of God. If we're not living in obedient to God's Word, then that means that you surely do not fear the Lord. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and a forward mouth do I hate." I don't have it with me, and I didn't write it down. I should have, but I read a quote by Spurgeon. When we fear the Lord, it's not that we are scared to be punished because we sin. It's because, as a simple fact, when we fear the Lord, we should hate the sin. We shouldn't not sin because we're scared of getting punished. We should not sin because we hate it like God hates it. That's a true fear of the Lord. And that's the essence of that quote that I read. And I thought, wow, that's powerful. But it's true. See, people do not walk in line with God's word. They do not have a fear of the Lord, regardless of what they profess with their lips. Everybody could say, we have the song, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But yet, do our lives align with what we talk? As some people would say, the simple fact of the matter is, does my life meet up with my does my talk match my walk? It should. What we say should be what we walk. Therefore, when we fear the Lord, there's elements of dread at what his wrath can do, but there's also such a respect for him and for his will that nothing else matters but doing that which pleases him. That's where we should be in our walk. Oswald Chambers said, "The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else." Boy, that's powerful. When you fear God, you fear nothing else. When you have a healthy respect for who God is and what he is in your life, you're going to do that which pleases him. And you're not going to have a fear for anything else because you know who holds everything in his hands. You know who's in control. Would you describe your life as one lived in the fear of God? Does the dread of his wrath prompt you to holiness? Does respect for him and for his will propel you towards obedience and godliness? These are some questions we need to ask ourselves. We simply need the fear of God in our lives. What are some of the benefits of fearing the Lord? When we fear the Lord, we find certain things to be true. Well, first of all, we see it is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So it's the beginning of knowledge. Okay, in chapter 9 and verse 10 of Proverbs, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Proverbs 15 and verse 33 says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." See, before we move forward, before we can be, should I say, elevated into a different position, we have to humble ourselves before God. You don't, just like they say, when you come into some place, you don't sit in the best seat. As it says in the Bible, you sit in the low seat and be invited up. That's the way God works. You got to be first, be willing to be the servant before you can be the leader. And there's so much to that. See, the best place to begin the search for true wisdom is in the fear of the Lord. True fear of the Lord is born out of knowledge of how infinitely powerful, majestic, and full of goodness God is. when we start seeing God for who he really is, we realize, first of all, our sinfulness. When we compare ourselves to him, we are nothing. That's why he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can never meet his standard. And when we realize that, we realize our need for him. Because we cannot do it on our own. Not only does it, the beginning of wisdom, one of the benefits, but it motivates people to holiness. It should draw us to God. The fear of the Lord should motivate us to become more like him. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." If you truly fear the Lord, then you're not going to be involved in something evil, something wicked. You're not going to be involved in some sin, because they do not go together. God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Proverbs 16 and verse 6, it says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." That's why we can hear about in history from some of these old time preachers that walked with God, that lived for God, prayed many hours in private. And when they had revivals, people were getting right because God's presence was there. And people were seeing God for who he really was. And they seen their need. And so they repented and got saved. And it moved them towards holiness. The person who truly reverences and respects the Lord as he should will not do anything that brings disgrace, dishonor, or pain to the heart of the Lord. We're going to be concerned about that. But are we truly concerned? See, people who genuinely fear the Lord will flee from evil. It motivates holiness. It motivates for us to be more like Christ. See, if we look at Job chapter 1, this was a man when Satan went before the Lord with the sons of God. It talks about here in Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Perfect example. And then he says in verse 9, "Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side, that thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land? But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. And only upon him himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went from the presence of the Lord. But how do we see Job respond to this? Let's go to chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, "Job, he lost all he had, all his earthly possessions. He lost all his children." And this is how Job responded. Because Job had a healthy fear for the Lord. He knew where he got everything. He knew where everything went. It says in verse 20, it says, "Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped." Could you do that if you lost everything you had right now? How would you feel about that? It kind of goes back to what we were teaching here several weeks back about everything belongs to God. We're just entrusted with it. If we realize that he is the giver and he is the taker, we come into this world naked. We're going to leave naked. We can take nothing with us. We're just here and need to be good stewards. But Job says, "I fell down upon the ground in worship." And he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He realized who gave him everything, and he realized that God allowed it to be gone.
Right.
His wife told him to curse God and die. But Job never listened to that.
Right.
Because Job was a man of God. He feared God. Now, did Job have some sin in his life? I'm sure he did have something. I think through the course of the book of Job, I think he had a little bit of pride he had to get rid of. But Job was a godly man. He feared God. It's a good example of what we ought to be. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 27. It says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." There's so much to be said about these things. But the bottom line is if we fear the Lord, it promotes holiness. It promotes holiness. Not only does it promote holiness, it prolongs life. It prolongs life. Proverbs 10 and verse 27, it says, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." Just like we've seen in Psalms, I think it's Psalm 27, don't quote me on that, but where he was envious of the world and envious of the things, but until he came to the house of God and he seen what the world's end was, then his mind was straightened out. But how do we go along in life and we see everybody else have all these nice things and we're living for God? Why can't we have these things? And we think God's being so unfair to us, but then yet, when we look at reality, the world has its reward now. Our reward's coming for eternity. It prolongs life. See, this is not a blanket promise, but it's a proven that those who live in the fear of the Lord are more likely to live a good old age than those who live for the flesh and the world. How many people have we known, those people in Hollywood or Nashville have died prematurely because of drugs and alcohol in the world versus people who have lived for God, who live long lives, long good lives. God's treated them and blessed them. They may not have always had the things of this world, the wealth of this world, but yet they've been blessed with life. Approximately 60% of human illnesses can be traced directly or indirectly to fear, sorrow, envy, resentment, guilt, hatred, or to any number of emotional stresses. When we truly live for the Lord, we're much healthier. Think about that. They call stress a silent killer. When somebody is stressed out all the time, it will slowly kill you. But when we have a healthy reverence for God, we trust Him, we live for Him, it prolongs life. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26. "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge." His children shall have a place of refuge. Not only does it produce a life of holiness or prolongs life, it produces security or a sense of security in the believer's life. "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge." You find security in the Lord. Just like He said in Psalm 23 and verse 4. Though I walk through the shadow of death, for Thou art with me, I should fear no evil. Now, I'm not quoting it word for word, so don't hold me to that. But that's the point I'm trying to say. We will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with us. He promises us. In Proverbs 16 and verse 6 through 8, it says, "By the mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. It's better to live as a poor man all your life and live in a life of righteousness versus somebody who has everything in the world and they can't sleep at night. They're worried about people taking what they have. What a rough life. I've never had everything I wanted in life. But you know something? I've lived a pretty good life. God has blessed me bountifully. And when I go to bed at night, you can ask my wife. She gets jealous sometimes. I just lay down my head on the bed and I'm out. Gone. I love that fact. I love the fact that I can lay down with a clear conscience and know that I'm doing right. And that God is blessing my life for that. There's something to be said. It produces a security. And I don't look for security in things. We find our security in the Lord. That's our security. That's because if you start looking for security in things, things come and go. You're gonna live like this. But when you, just like joy in serving Jesus, it's a joy that lasts forever. Joy that nobody can take. There's a great joy in that. It produces a security. See, we can have confidence. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans 8 and verse 31, it says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" If God's on our side, then what do we got to worry about? Because God has never been created. God has always been, and He is and always will be. He has no beginning and has no end. If He be for us, who can be against us? Do you remember what, I think it was either Elijah, I can't remember when it was, but then he prayed and asked God to show him the angels, the fiery chariots, and the enemy seen that, and they were gone. God is on our side. He fights our battles for us. We just need to trust in Him. It produces a security. When we're living right, there are fewer feelings of insecurity, abandonment, and fear. See, when we're sin, we live in sin, it brings fear. It brings shame. Look at Adam and Eve when they sinned and they disobeyed God. They hid in the garden when God came in to visit with them, to commune with them, to have fellowship with them. God says, "Where art thou, Adam?" And he hid. Why? Because he was naked. Well, who told you that you were naked? Well, he knew. God knew that they ate of the fruit. God knew they disobeyed. But he wanted them to confess. He wants us to confess. And when we confess, what's confession mean? He wants us to confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants us to agree with him about our sin. See, when we have a fear of God, we should have a hatred for sin. If we don't, then I don't think we've truly repented. It's not real. Because we have to have a hatred for sin, because God hates sin. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind." See, God does not live on fear. He doesn't want us to be scared of Him. He wants us to reverence Him, but He does not want us to be scared of Him. 1 John 4 and verse 18. 1 John 4 and verse 18. It says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." See, God does not want us to be tormented. That's the devil. If we're being tormented, if we're living in such a way, we're allowing the devil to have influences on us. God wants us to live in peace. That's why He says He gives us a peace that passeth all understanding. He wants us to reverence Him, not to fear Him. It produces life. Not only does it produce security, it produces life. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. It produces life. See, the fear of the Lord is like a fountain that continually springs up the spiritual vitality and strength. He continues to give. We just got to go to the fountain. We got to go to His Word. This enables the Christian to walk a cleaner and closer walk, avoiding temptations and traps of the devil. It talks about the word cleansing us. He cleanses us through the water of the Word. It's a fountain. It produces life. But not only does it produce life, it makes all life better, does it not? Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. It's better to have little and be right than it is to have everything and be wrong. See, this really comes down to the fact of whether we are really trusting the Lord or not. Are we trusting Him today? Are we really trusting Him? That's the key. That's why we sang the song, Only Trust Him. Only trust Him. Because that's what we need to be doing. See, the bottom line is this. When you're in the Lord's will, and when you're walking in His fear, then you care for His responsibility. Then you care about the things of the Lord. See, when you're doing right, God promises us that He'll bless us. God promises us that He'll supply for us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. One of my favorite verses, but we're going to read multiple verses here. Chapter 6, starting in verse 25. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, and how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But he says there in verse 33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If we're willing to put God first, God will take care of us. A good example in the Old Testament is, I believe it was Elijah, went to the widow. She had a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, and she says, I'm going to make enough for me and my son, and we're going to eat it and die. But what did he tell her? He says, make me one first. And the principle there was simply put God first. And guess what? They had many days worth. Because why? She chose to put God first. See, there's a contrast here. The life filled with things and riches is a trouble-filled life. A life lived in faith and in the fear of the Lord is a literally carefree life. When we put our trust in Him, and He takes care of all of our needs, when we finally figure it out, it took me a while. But you can ask my wife, you can ask Neil, he works with me. I don't advertise, I don't do anything. I just get calls on the phone all the time for work. God provides. And He continues to provide. Sometimes, I got a call the other day, Neil was with me, and I put a bid out 3 years ago. And the call finally came through for that job. Explain that one to me. That's God providing. He takes care of His own. If we're willing to give Him our best, if we're willing to put Him first, He will take care of you. Not only does it make our life better, but it produces satisfaction and safety. It produces satisfaction and safety. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Proverbs 19 and verse 23. It produces a satisfaction. If we're living for in the fear of the Lord, we will be a satisfied person. Our one goal and our only goal will be living to please the Lord. That will be our goal. Apart from the Lord, we cannot be happy. When we allow ourselves to be consumed with things and other stuff, we can never stay happy. There was a time in my life that's what I did. And I was consumed with it. I started with small things and then I went to big things. I was consumed with wanting things. And there was never no satisfaction until the day I came to the Lord and got saved. And then that desire changed. The world has nothing to offer. They cannot, as I have been put to me, and I'll put it to you, is the world cannot fill that God-shaped space in your heart that only God can fill. Only God can do it. The world can't. We can try to fill it with everything, and people do. We see people out drinking. We see people doing drugs. We see people gambling. We see people doing anything they want. They spend all their time, they're consumed with this to try to what? To find happiness. And guess what? They cannot do it. When we learn to be satisfied with the Lord and with the privilege of walking in His fear, we will be permanently satisfied. The person who walks in a genuine fear of the Lord need never to fear going to hell. Once we trust Christ, we have no fear of hell. We don't have to think about that no more. The only reason we'd ever talk about hell is because we're trying to win somebody to Christ and tell them, hey, you're going to hell if you don't get saved. He need never to fear many of the things that beset the world around him. If we have lost our focus on the Lord, we need to refocus. And that's what happens daily when we spend time with him. We need to refocus. It is supposed to be a time of die to self. As Paul says, I die daily. We need to die to self-desires daily. If we truly want to be used of the Lord, we must die to self daily. We need to get rid of self. We need to take self out of the picture. We need not to have an inward look. We need to have an outward look, an upward look to God. We need to look to Him first. I like the way somebody come up with, I don't know whoever did, but the true meaning of joy is putting Jesus first, others next, and ourselves last. And when we do that, we'll have a joy that nobody can take away. See, in Job chapter, let's go back to Job. We read it already. Job chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. See, it produces satisfaction and safety. And what I want to say about Job chapter 1, we don't need to go there for sake of time. But God, it talked about God putting a hedge around Job. When we live a life obediently for God and we fear God, He's going to protect us. Just like He said in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. Even our enemies will be at peace with us. If we're living a life that's pleasing to Him, we're going to have that sense of satisfaction and safety. We're going to live in peace. We're going to have that peace. When somebody feels safe, they're usually satisfied and they have a peace that nobody can take. But if they don't feel safe, then there's something not right with that. But then we see it brings great blessings. Living in the fear of the Lord brings great blessings. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. See, God wants to bless us. But the problem is we don't want to live for Him, so therefore He cannot bless us. He doesn't bless disobedience. He blesses obedience. And when we're willing to live for Him, we're living to walk in the fear of the Lord, then we can be rest assured that this decision will bring great blessings into our life. When you choose to choose Him over everything else. See, spiritual blessings, peace, joy, hope, security, the promises of God, the presence of God, these are all blessings that we can experience. There will be honor from the Lord, and they will be abundant. There will be abundant life, as it talks about in John chapter 10, verse 10. See, the fear of the Lord produces the best life a person can possibly want. There is no better life upon the earth than a life lived in the will of God. There's no better life. And I tell you this much, my life has never been better. I'm not that perfect man, and I'm striving to do better every day. But my life has never been better than it has been now, ever in my life. And there's still room for improvement. But for the blessings of God to be on a man's life and to see and to know where I come from and to where God has brought me today is a miracle. It's a miracle. If we choose to walk in the fear of the Lord, we can be rest assured that this decision will bring great blessings in our life. And lastly, we see, and we'll close shortly, a decision related to the fear of the Lord. There needs to be a decision made. Are we going to walk in the fear of the Lord or are we not? And it's each one of us. A decision to live a life that is ordered around a holy, reverential respect of God is a decision that must be, each one of us have to make that decision. It's not something I can do for you. It's not something your parents can do for you. It's something you have to do for yourself. Each individual. And if you're saved, you cannot get away with sin. The Bible tells us, be sure your sin will find you out. As I mentioned before, we live in a glass house. God sees everything we do. We cannot hide nothing from Him. It's easy to see those that live in the fear of the Lord. Their lives show it. You can tell, that's a man I want to be like. That's somebody I want to follow after. I mean, ultimately, we should be following after the Lord, but do we not have saints in our life, people that are godly Christians that we want to be like, or somebody who has mentored us? It's easy to see that they live in such a way. I've met some preachers a long time ago. Billy Kinoy, I don't know if you've ever heard the name. He's out of North Carolina. He was 80-some years old, preaching still. And that man, when he started preaching, it was unbelievable. You can tell that man walked with God. You can tell by the way he talked, the way he preached, that God was on that man's life. See, it's easy to see that. See, his house is going to be a priority. Prayer and the scriptures are priorities. Everything God says in his word will take priority and precedent over one's personal will and desires. See, the Lord's way becomes the only way. When we're living in the fear of the Lord, that's what's going to be. Everything of the Lord is going to become present. It's going to be first. But it's also easy to see those who live outside the will of God as well. The things of God are secondary. Other matters will constantly be placed ahead of the Lord and His will and His work. I don't know. There's people we've dealt with trying to get them to come to church and invite them. And every week, something comes up, another excuse. Do they fear the Lord? No. They don't have no fear of God. See, this type of life is usually filled with trial and trouble. There's more heartache and disaster in a life lived outside of the fear of the Lord. You see people like that. You think in your mind, if they only could get it, if they only could understand, their life can be changed. But only God can change that life. See, this is not the way God intended the Christian life to be. All those things that we looked at, it produces life, security, confidence. It makes all of life better. All these things can come from a life that fear somebody who fears God. All of these things can come in such a way. See, if more Christians today would live in such a way that their lives, if they feared God, like they should, if they had a healthy respect for who God is and the things of God, I think we'd see all of our churches a lot different. I think we would see a greater impact on lost people. We would see a lot more people coming and getting saved and churches growing
than we do today. But again, as it tells us in the Bibles, see, revival has to start with us. We have to be willing to accept that we're in sin, that we need to confess it. Look at Nehemiah when they were building the wall. He confessed his own sin and his people's sin before a holy God. And look what God did. He used that man through a worldly king, gave him all the resources he needed to fix the problem. He had so much obstinance, but God blessed them. They fought for it. And guess what happened? In 52 days, they built that wall. And look what happened. We looked at, I believe, last week, where they had revival, or last Sunday night, or I think it was Wednesday night. I can't remember exactly what day it is. They all run together. But the point being is, there was revival. They had a readiness. The first thing they requested was the Word of God. They wanted the Word of God. They wanted to be preached to. And then once they were preached to, they expected that they received it. And what happened? Repentance came. They got right. And look how God blessed them. Look at how the church grew in the book of Acts. When they went out. And it says they were all like-minded. If we would only be willing, as we stand before a holy God today, be willing to say, hey, I need to get right. It only takes one person. One person acts, then second person. Before you know it, everybody is doing it. That's where we need to be as a church. But it needs to start with us in order for us to get other people in here. So if we have a better understanding of what the fear of the Lord is, it's a reverential awe of who God is and what He has done for us. We're going to ask everybody to stand, heads bowed and eyes closed as the pianist comes. And we're going to take a moment of a time to do business with God, a time of invitation. And I'm going to pray, and then we're going to, just as the piano plays, we're going to... I did my responsibility. The Lord expected me to deliver to you His Word. But what you do with it is between you and Him. But I truly believe that, you know, none of us are perfect. And we stand before the Lord without excuse. But we need to have a healthy fear of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your many blessings.